Okay, we are on Dalet Amud Beis. Just have to finish up the sugya that we're on. In terms of the whole page, we're more than halfway down the page. I don't know which way to work it, from the top or from the bottom. From the bottom, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 17 lines from the bottom. Okay, now, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. Play around too much with it. Let's do it again. Okay. Okay, now let's just quickly look at the sugya. The sugya was, the Gemara brings a brisa that brought an additional source where kesef helps for a kiddushin. We already went through the long sugya beforehand. That said, kesef works from, we learn from an Amma of Reya, a Jewish girl servant. It says, V'yatza chinam ein kesef. She leaves free with no money. We learn from that pasuk that she leaves free from the servitude with no money, well, from the extra words with no money, but she can leave her father with money, that kiddushin money is given. That was what one of the, in the Gemara, learned that out. Then yesterday, we learned a brisa that finds an altogether different source, which was already referenced to in the beginning of our learning. And that was the pasuk, Ish ki yikach isha, if a man will take a woman, uvala, and cohabit with her. The word yikach, taking, we learned from similarly, as we found by Ephron, who sold the field to Avram. Avram says, here's the money, kach, take the money. So the root, kach, kicha, we see that taking something is taking something with money. So we see from that as well, that money works from this source. And we discussed the whole discussion. Maybe there's some kal v'chomers that we could use instead of coming out to the pasuk. And Gemara said, no, we have no kal v'chomers to teach us this. It's this pasuk. So, at this point in the game, there's one more point the Gemara has to do before it finishes up this sugya. And let's see where we're at this point in the game. It seems now the Gemara, way back in sugya number 3. Remember, back on sugya 3, what is the source that money makes a kiddushin? What is the source that money works, that a man may be mekadesh his daughter through money? What is the source a father gets the money? Right? And Rav Yehuda answered all three questions from the Yotza Chinam Ein Kosef. And by the end of the day, that was the resolution. So we have an Amor that says we learn all three laws from the Yotza Chinam Ein Kosef. And we go into great detail why we're able to learn that drasha. Now, who gave us this answer? Look there. Rav Yehuda answered that. Rav Yehuda is an Amor. Rav Yehuda says, here's the source. That was Sugya 3. In this sugya we just did yesterday, there's a brisa, not an amora, a brisa, that brings us a different source. The source is, and that was, we referenced way in the beginning, if you recall, way in the beginning, in the very first sugya. I'm trying to cross-reference, help us remember. Why did we use the expression of the Mishnah, acquired? And it said why? Because we learned the whole Mishnah teaches that one of the mess equations through money, and we learned that from Xerah Shava Kicha Kicha from Avram's purchase of the field. And we're referencing the Brisa here, way back in the meeting, to what we now had yesterday. That was the Brisa that we learned. Where, when a man will take a Bimakadosh, who will have Bia, blah, 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 blah. So we have a Brisa. That's a very early source. That says it's from the fact It says a man takes a woman, and we learn that from Ephron, taking is with money. So now, what is the last thing that we have to deal with over here? We're going to basically ask, so why did Rav bring us a source when the Bryce already brought us a different source? If the Bryce already gave us a source,
why do we need another one?
So just bring the Bryce and finish. You know, if we didn't have Rabbi Yehuda and all that, life would have been a lot easier. We could have skipped a whole bunch of sugyas. It was a long sugya 3 and a long sugya 4. But let's just, right here, we have a Braisa. The Braisa says, Kicha Kicha Mistei Ephron. It says a man takes a woman. It says take the money. We see that taking is with money. Finished. What's Rav coming along and adding on to the Braisa a whole different source? What was a very complicated source for us. It was very difficult till we worked our way through it. So that's going to be the Gemara's question to end off this sugya. Wrong place. So now the Gemara says as follows. The Itzrach, and we need Lemichtav to write V'yatzachinam. We need the drush of Rav that says from V'yatzachinam she goes out free and there is no money. That teaches us no money for him, but for a father there is money. We needed that drush of Rav. It's Be'istrach Lamichtav Ki'ikachish. And we also need the verse that the Braisa quotes, if a man takes a woman. In other words, Gemara's not asking us a question. The Gemara's already starting with the answer. After we finished this sugi and brought a Braisa, then the Gemara assumes everybody's wondering, what did Rav come along and bring me the other verse for? So Gemara already starts with the answer. So Gemara's going to basically say, if we have one without the other, we would have made one mistake. And the fact that we have both, so now we have much greater clarity. And we'll see why each one, although it is a source that money works, but it would be a source that would be a little bit faulty in terms of wouldn't give us a complete correct picture of the story, and the other verse will fill in the gap, as it were. And it comes out really, although one could be the main source, or either one, but each one will help out the other, as it were. And now you're going to see how that works. The Kasaf Rachmona Kiyikach, if we would have just had the Braisa. The Braisa says, we learn from Kiyikach, that taking is, you take with money. A man takes a woman with money. So what mistake could I have made if I only had that source? So Hava Amina, I would have thought like this: Kiddushin de Yahivla Baal Dida Hava. I would have said that the money of Kiddushin that a Nara receives from her husband is hers. In other words, it says a man acquires a woman with money. And if we didn't have that whole verse with the maidservant now, if that didn't exist, a man could take a woman with money. Fine. So what would I think if a man gives a Nara money?
Yeah.
What would I think? Who gets the money?
She gets the money.
I think she gets the money. Well, that's not true. The father gets the money. So how would I know that the father gets the money? Well, very good. So Kasav Rachmana, the Torah writes specifically, V'yotzachinam, she goes free. This master doesn't get the money as she leaves his jurisdiction, but another master gets the money when she leaves her jurisdiction, and that's the father. Right? Now that I would not have known, and that's why when we go back in that original, the Rav asked three questions. How do you know money works? How do you know the father? It works for a ketana, that father could take the money. How do you know the father keeps the money? So I would have made a mistake and think the Pharisees gave the money. So really, it's a good source. It's a very good source. We know money for sure. There's no question money works. Matter of fact, money will work even to marry an error. Money will work. But we think the father doesn't get the money. So therefore, we need that to say that the father gets the money. Okay. So now we understand that could very well the Bryce is the primary source and the Ravs is just telling us that the father gets the money. Now, but if that's already a good enough source, so why did we need the Bryce at all? Let's just go with the last source. that there is no money and the father gets the money. So that would be good enough. Then what would I need the brisa for? Someone's going to answer that too. Because of Rachmana, v'yotzachinam, if we only wrote the last, the brisa, the Rav statement, that the maidservant goes free and there is no money, and that teaches us, but there is money when the father takes it, and you figure we learned all three things from that. Well, hold on there. We could have made another mistake on that end. Hava mina, I would have thought like this. Yes, that's true. Hecha de yahava le'ihi l'dideo v'kidashto. I would have said that, wait a minute, how about if a woman gives money to a man and betroths him? How do I know that it has to be the man giving the woman? Why can't the woman give the man the money? Who says that the woman can't give the man the money? Right? So I would have thought, yes, that may, you know, all it says is if the man wants to, it just says, she goes free, there is no money. There's no money. There's no money for who? There's no money for the master, but there could be money for the father. Very good. That's true when the person gives money. But how do we know that maybe that how do you know in general that a man has to give money? How do you know that a woman doesn't give the money? Where do you have a source? You know, we just say money makes the kedushin. Well, who says who has to give the money? It says she goes free. She goes free, right? Okay, let's do a little bit, let's go a little one more line over here. What if she gives the money and betroths him? Let's finish up the point. Havi kiddushe. It would be a kiddushin. Why? Let's look at the notes. If it were taught only that money could affect kiddushin, what would we learn from the case? She goes free, no money. There's no money here, but when she leaves her father, there is money. But which direction is the money going? Who's the one that's giving the money? It might have been thought that it is irrelevant whose money is actually used. Perhaps kiddushin will be valid even when the woman gives the money and declares her intention to betroth the man. Who says the man betroths the woman? Maybe the woman betroths the man.
The woman acquire a husband?
Why not?
Not acquire a wife?
Well, she'll just give him the money.
Yeah, could be.
You want me, like, you know, why, who says not? The only reason we're troubled is because we know so much it's not that way.
Yeah, we're there, right.
Because we kept teaching it's not that way. Yeah, so your mind isn't ready to accept any other different approach. But remember, wipe out the pasuk if a man takes a woman, if it didn't exist. Yeah. So who's taking? I don't know who's taking who. There has to be an issue you call marriage. Who says the wife doesn't take the man? All you know from the shifcha leaving, that when she leaves, there is no money.
Right.
But if a married woman to leave the father, there's got to be some money. Maybe the money is she gives the money to the man. Who says the money the man gives to the woman? How would you know?
The source of her money.
Who cares? Doesn't matter. So therefore, and that's for any marriage afterwards. So because of Rachmanis, therefore the Torah writes ki yikach. It says if a man takes. Once we say ki yikach velo ki tikach, it doesn't say if she takes. Simply the man is taking, so clearly he's the active one involved in the kiddushin. So therefore we have to deduce that the man betroths the woman and not vice versa. So really, the clearer proof, if you look at proofs over here, is the kiyikach proof. Because that teaches us a lot. It teaches the man is the one who activates it. Only problem is, we don't know what? If the father can ever keep the money if he marries a nara. So therefore we need the other verse of Yatzachina main cost, if she goes free without any money. And really that verse alone could have taught us just about everything anyway, but we don't know who's the one who activates the kedushin. So therefore we need both. At the end of the day, even though the brisa gives us the most basic and on the spot, the brisa, you have to really think at the end of the day, the brisa is right on spot. Because the brisa is saying, if a man shall take a woman, that's exactly the parsha of kedushin. It makes sense that if you're looking, how does money work in kiddushin, we would pick a source that's talking about kiddushin, right? So the brisa really is the most accurate source. Why do we dray a cup so much with a long sugya? You say, nah, if the woman goes free without money, and then it means the father get money, what are you draying on such a big cup for? We're saying, well, really, you could even learn kiddushin. That's true, but it wouldn't be so solid. But the main thing is to teach that the father keeps the money if he marries off a na'ara. That's what comes out. So now in conclusion, and this becomes the important point that we've got to keep in our brains, look at the end over here. All it is point 8, is a statement of the Gemara. The Torah needed to write both. She goes out free, and when a man shall take a wife, to teach us that a woman is a mekudeshes through money. Had it written only the latter verse, one might have thought that she keeps the kedushin money. Therefore, we need she goes out free to teach us that the father gets the money. Let me just say a little. She goes out free to teach us that the father keeps the money. So, I wrote that already.
No, you doubled it.
I didn't realize I wrote it.
You doubled it.
I wrote it. Okay. I'm sorry. I didn't have to write it again. Okay, therefore, we need, she goes out free to teach the father keeps the money.
That's right.
Had it written only, she goes out free, one might have thought that if a woman gives a man money and is mekadeshim, it works. Therefore, we need when a man takes a wife to teach us that only the man gives the woman the money. So now the resolution is, what comes out, we have two sources now, right? Remember, the original question was, is there another source that money makes a kedushin? Why do we need another source? The answer is, when a man will take the mekadesh woman to have bia with her, that's the pasuk, he takes her through money, we find that acquisition through money is kicha, I gave the money for the field, take it from me, therefore money is a means of kedushin. This is the other source. And now I just repeated what I wrote before. The Torah needed to write both, she goes out free, and when the man shall take a wife, to teach us a woman's mekudeshes through money. And then we go through that same thing. Had it written only the latter verse, one might have thought that she keeps the kedusha money. Therefore we need, she goes out for free to teach us the father keeps the money when his younger daughter gets married. Had only written, and she goes out free, one might have thought, if a woman gives a man money and his mekudesh, it works. Therefore we need, when a man will take a wife, to teach that kedusha occurs only when the man gives the money. So now this, now what we're going to cross-reference here, because now I've added, go back to our Mishnah now. The Mishnah says, how is a woman acquired in marriage? Law, she's acquired in one of three ways. Money, document, bia. So now when I put money, now we're adding in principles. Money, how does, why? See resolution number one in Sugya 3 and resolution number one and two in Sugya 5. Now it gives us the sources why money works. It works because if a man shall take, and the fact that he gives the money, not her, right? Behind it, the father can even keep the money. That's what you need the other pasuk for, to teach us. So this is the cross referencing that we're beginning to do over here. I already added another cross reference from, look over here. By the law, she's acquired in any one of three ways, through money, document, or bia, excluding chuppah, and according to Rav Huna, excluding, yeah. Shouldn't have said chuppah again. Typo. Excluding chlippin. Remember that exchange. Okay, so we're trying to cross-reference. Okay, that is the end of Sugya 5.
You said at the end there, the younger daughter. What's the significance of that?
I mean Anara.
The younger daughter. Say Anara.
A not mature.
Okay.
I don't know what word to use.
Wow.
What would you like me to use?
Well, this is the younger daughter. It means the older one doesn't go through this procedure.
Okay, well, when his non-adult.
That's right. That's better.
Okay, we're moving on now to Sugya 6. Sugya 6, we're going on to the... Now, it's interesting. The Gemara said, the Mishnah said there's three ways a woman is acquired. Money, shtar, and bia. Now we've taken care of money. Clear. You figure the next thing the Gemara would ask was shtar. You figure that's the next thing I'm going to ask. But for some reason, the Gemara doesn't go to shtar, but it jumps to bia. So that's an interesting question we'd have to think. Why isn't the Gemara going in order of the Mishnah? Kesef, shtar, bia. We just did kesef. But the Gemara is going to now jump to bia. What is the source that bia makes a kedushin? And what it's going to do is it's going to go back to that Mishnah, that Braisa that we talked about yesterday. The Braisa said the source for kesef and had a whole question and answer back and forth till it came to the conclusion with the Gemara's help of explaining what it really meant. Gemara now is going to bring that same brisa that continues and gives us the source of how cohabitation works as a kiddushin.
Isn't that Yitzhak?
What?
Yitzhak. It doesn't say in the Torah you took Rivka and...
It doesn't say he cohabited with her. It said he took him into her house and married her. It doesn't say he cohabited with her. Not necessarily. It's not. Well, let's put it this way. You got a much better source. If you got a better source, which is right to the point, it would be better. So let's move on now. The Brisa now, next sugya, the Brisa now brings us the next source for Bia. All right, so let's go again and look in the pasuk here. Where did he put it away now? One second, where did my son put... He's rearranged my whole thing. He rearranged the whole thing. He's got all his games on this.
Not in there.
No, I don't want that.
The eye towards the bottom right corner.
No, I don't want... What? No, I don't want that. What did he do with it? Come on, give me this. Whoa.
Not
that. Okay, because I don't want to go to Itor. You'll see why I don't want to go to it, except to something else. There's a reason I don't want to go to this, but I will. First of all, look how long it's taking to open up. And it's going to open up to the wrong place. And it's the other one is a much faster cross-reference.
Yeah.
That one's much faster. Now it's going to...
Okay.
And now it just gives me an English. Now I got to go back to the English. It's... Oh, man, it's even worse. It doesn't even give me choices. This whole thing. This is really a bad program. Okay. Let's go back to this pasuk here. See? It says like this. Ki yikach ish isha. What's the next word? Uve'ala. See, it also doesn't let you expand it. That's why I don't like this one. Okay, if a man takes a woman, uve'ala. What does vala means? And cohabits with her. So Shelly, wouldn't that be a better proof? Then Yitzhak, right? That's direct. So the bride's going to say, that's the word, uvela, from the fact that he's into this. Clear, a man takes a woman, uvela, and he cohabits with her. So that's going to be the proof. So that's what Gemara said. Here's the bride. This bride is uvela, and the words be'ala, he cohabits with her. That teaches us, melamed sheniknas bebia, she's acquired with bia. She's acquired with cohabitation. Now the Bryce is going to do the same thing here that it did yesterday with Kesef. It's going to say, why do I need a pasuk? Let me learn it from a Kal V'chomer. And the Gemara is going to do a similar type of discussion, trying to prove from Kal V'chomer, and I probably will have to make another chart like I made yesterday. So here's Gemara's question. Well, you're going to tell me, so what if it didn't have this word? Well, I guess we wouldn't have learned it. I guess only through money, kiyikach, money, not bia. So Gemara says, why do I need the pasuk? But halo dinu, isn't it a logical thing that we could have come to our own understanding from other information without having to have a pasuk? And here becomes the kal v'chomer. Let's look at other marriages. Uma yivam. Let's look at yibum. When a man dies, doesn't have any children, his brother marries the wife.
Right, the widow.
And that's called yibum. Okay, how does yibum work?
Yeah.
Does it work with money? Biblically, no. She'ein niknis b'kesef. Money does not work. Still, niknis b'bia. Still, it does work with bia. So bia works. So now, regular marriage, zu she'niknis b'kesef. So a regular woman who is acquired with money, we just said, ki yikach, she's acquired with money. Ein odin she'niknis b'bia. Wouldn't it all the more so work with bia? That's the Kal V'chomer. Let's put another chart up here.
Slow down today.
Not every morning. It doesn't have its coffee yet. Okay, so let's start again with the, what are we going to say? We're going to say, how am I going to make this? Regular woman. And Yibum. Okay, so what are we discussing here? We're discussing, does Bia work? So let's start first with Kesef. Money. Bia. Okay, a regular woman, does she, can she be acquired with money?
Yes.
Yes. How about Yibum? Can she be acquired with?
Yes.
No.
Why not?
She's not.
But Yibum.
Yibum, she's not acquired with money.
Oh, Yibum, I'm sorry, I thought it was
really. Oh, look over here, Yibum, right?
Okay.
But how about Bia? Does Bia work by Yibum?
Yes.
Okay, now, if I only have that information, and I'd ask you, how about a regular woman? Can she be acquired with Bia? What would you say?
Yes.
You say yes. If a Yibum that cannot be done with money can work with Bia, then a woman that can work with money, yes, should certainly work with Bia. Kal v'chomer.
How do we conclude that?
Because we see that a regular woman can be acquired even with money,
yeah,
which is a lesser form of being together, while Yibum doesn't work with money. So if Yibum doesn't work with money, but yes, works with Bia,
oh,
then certainly a woman who he can give her money be, so right, certainly Bia should work. So okay, if that's the case, what do I need the pasuk of Uba Allah for?
A regular woman and a Yibum are not the same status. And a regular woman doesn't have...
Okay, so that's gonna be Gemara's answer at the end. So you're right, just put it to the side right now. Okay, you're right, just put it to the side. Because Gemara still has to meander a little more before we come to that point. So now, that's more suggest, let that be the Kal v'chomer. Now remember, Kal v'chomer only works if that point that you're basing it on is a true point. That means to say, well, I guess, you know, the fact that you have money creates this reality, so it makes it stronger. But Gemara says, wait a minute, I'm going to knock off your Kal v'chomer. Ama ivriya tochiach. While a Hebrew maidservant refutes this reasoning. How does it refute this reasoning? Well, what do we know about an Amma Ivriya? If you want to acquire an Amma Ivriya, a man wants to purchase a Jewish woman as a maidservant. What methods work? What methods work? If you want to get him, what can you do?
Money.
Money. What else? How about Bia?
No. No,
you don't
no,
think so. She niknes bekesef. She's acquired with money, but the a niknes bebia. But she's not acquired with bia.
Right.
So therefore, boom, your whole Kal v'chomer is knocked off. Why? So let's go now to maid. The maid
money
works, but bia doesn't work. So the fact that money works is no guarantee that Bia works. So just because the woman here has money, what's the guarantee that Bia works? Because if it worked by a maid, if you're saying that money over not money creates a Kal v'chomer, then how come by a maid birth doesn't work? Bia doesn't work. Obviously the fact that Bia doesn't work, it means the reason why money works is for a different reason.
But a maid is not acquired for the reason of cohabitation. Whereas a woman, a Yibum, are.
Okay, all right, so that could be a knockoff to this. But, okay, take it step by step. Okay, good, 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 you're thinking good. But the Gemara is trying to show, you know, is this a valid Kal v'chomer? Now the Gemara is going to say, yeah, well, what did you come from a maid? Maid is a totally different thing. That's what Gemara is going to say. Going to say, wait a minute. Malo Amavri, how can you compare and bring Amavri into the game plan? She ain't Kinyan El Shemisha. She's not acquired for marriage.
That's right.
It's not a marriage acquisition. That has nothing to do with the other two cases of regular marriage and Yibum. Tomer Bezusha Kinyana L'Shemishus. You're going to say the other, it should impact the others that are for marriage? So therefore, what the Bryce, it's all a Bryce, it's all a Bryce. The Bryce is therefore saying...
Kal v'chomer still stands.
Take it out. It doesn't fit into our equation. It's not a marriage type of an acquisition. Okay, so right at this point, what would you think? We have a Kal v'chomer. Okay, this so again, the Bryce is being cryptic here and doesn't seem to make sense. At this point, again, we have a Kal v'chomer? So now we don't need the pasuk, right? We don't need the pasuk. But the Braisa ends off, and you're going to have a question on it, so just hold on. The Braisa now ends off, so knock out the maidservant, and we're going to remain with Talmud Lomar, comes to Pasuk, and says Ubala. And that's why we need Ubala, we need the Pasuk. That's the end of the Braisa. It's more saying, what are you talking about? We just showed there's a Kal v'chomer. We didn't knock off the Kal v'chomer. You tell me you still need the Pasuk? That's more he's going to ask now. V'lama likra. What do you need the Pasuk? What do you bring the Pasuk? Ha'asyala. We already brought a logical proof. So therefore, we're going to say there's something in between the lines in the Braisa that we have to add, just like we did yesterday. There's something in between the lines we have to add. Amar Ravashi, Ravasi says, you know, even after we knocked off the Kal v'chomer, the Braisa says, even though it seems the Kal v'chomer stays, still we need the Pasuk. And now we're going to say, like Shelley said, Mishum de'ika lememer, because we could say, there's no way, me'ikara de dina pircha. We can break the Kal v'chomer from its inception. You can't just pick up, well, this doesn't work with money and works with bia, this works with money, should also work with bia. We're gonna break the whole logic of the Kal v'chomer from the inception. Why? Because me'echa ka meisis la, where did you want to bring a Kal v'chomer from? Where'd you want to bring a Kal v'chomer? Me'yavama. From a Yavama. And to say, well, if Yavama didn't work with this, but works with this, and all the more so, if this works, it should also work. But Yavama is totally different. Malevama, but of Yavama, the reason why, she came to Kuka Vomena, she's already bound to another man.
Right.
She's already bound to the other brother. Right. She's not a free woman. So she's already bound to the other man, then we can, it'll work different. Why only cohabitation is required? Because money is like, if you have a single girl, she has no business with this guy. We have to create some venue to create the relationship. But here, when the man died, the brother, she automatically is linked with him. She can't go to anybody else. So we don't have to go through a monetary acquisition because there's already a connection. So now what's left? You gotta be intimate with her. That's the only option there. Giving money, we did say rabbinically they say give money. Remember we said rabbinically because it's mamar. But really for the biblical thing, we don't need to do anything. She's already connected to the guy. So all you need is bia. Here. Before yivam or chalitza is performed, the yavam is forbidden from marrying any man other than her late husband's brother. The Yavama can thus be considered bound towards her Yavam by virtue of her previous marriage to his brother. This being the case, all that may be deduced from the case of Yavam is that cohabitation can complete a pre-existing bond. It is not determined, however, that cohabitation can initiate a process of kiddushin. Yeah? That we didn't prove. So therefore you have no Kal v'chomer. Tomar, would you now suggest Bezu, this woman, Shehain's a woman, it's a woman who wasn't married to another brother and is not bound to the guy. How would I know that cohabitation, Shah Masoy with a good woman, initiates the bond? Talmud Lomer, therefore I need a Pasuk Uba Allah. I need the Pasuk Uba Allah. The Torah says so now. In other words, had the Torah not said it, I wouldn't have said it. Oh, what about logically? By Yibum, money doesn't work, but Bia works. So let's say over here where money works, Bia should work. No, but Yibum, there's be no Kal v'chomer because Yibum, there's already a pre-existing bond. When there's a pre-existing bond, I understand that Bia helps. But who's to say when there's no pre-existing bond that Bia initiates a bond? I would not have said it. So we need the Torah to say Ube Allah. So now we have the second thing, Bia comes from the words Ube Allah, that's the only source, and a Kal v'chomer does not work, and that's the bottom of the page.